Do you want to be inspired by other brilliant business owners? Find out how and why they set their brilliant businesses up. Discover some of the triumphs and struggles they faced along the way. If so, then you are in the right place. Welcome to the Brilliant Businesses Podcast. We interview business owners to find out their story and journey as to how they set their businesses up. We believe that story is an important way of making their businesses shine, and we share those stories on this podcast. Keep building those brilliant businesses.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to a Brilliant Businesses podcast. My name is Nick Bryant, and I've been trying to get this gentleman on the podcast for a long, long time. So I'm really pleased to be joined by Lorenzo Colangelo today. Hey, Lorenzo.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
So Lorenzo is from The Gallery, which is a hairdressing salon in Tunbridge Wells, in Southbury, Tunbridge Wells. Now, since opening its doors in 1985, it's become one of the UK's leading salons, where their clients expect nothing but the best when they come in the doors. Now, I first told Lorenzo's story about 3 years ago. And I have to say, it's one of the most engaged stories I've ever put out on social media. I think it's been seen like 40,000 times, or shared 60 times, all these lovely comments. You're a popular man in Tunbridge Wells.
Oh, gosh. Shucks.
So I want you to tell that story again, if that's okay, the way your father came over and introduced the
gallery. Yeah, I mean, I've had to tell this story a lot of times. I never realised quite how popular it would be, but my dad's a very popular guy. He came over from Italy in 1958, and he worked in private houses. Basically, his history was in private houses, working for Lord Astor, worked for the Hussies at Scotney Castle, and he was kind of a private valet. But he was trained as a barber and a tailor in his hometown of Torrecuso in Benevento in Italy. And he came over with minimal English, in fact, no English, but kind of fell into these roles as butler and valet for private houses. And, you know, he's that kind of guy who's very discreet, but very larger than life. People like having him around. And that's always been the way. And basically, when he left his last position of that at Scotney Castle in 1971, I believe it was, he worked in salons. So he decided to try and make a go of his barbering career. And long story short, he ended up with purchasing a salon in Southbrook. He called it Barnett Fair. And the salon was, it was by no means smart, but it was a great place. I remember going in there from school, going to see clients, going to see my mum and dad, because my mum worked there as well. I naturally kind of like fitted into that environment, and I kind of felt very at home there. There was nothing special about it, but it was much like a living room. But it was very busy. My dad set this up with a big Italian heart, basically. You know, people felt welcome. You know what it's like. You go into a great Italian restaurant and they know what you want. They know where you sit. It's less about the food, but about the welcome and about the about the amazing experience, really. And that sense of belonging. So he was, you know, he set this up, and it was a great place. And, you know, and I knew that at that point that I was going to probably take up a career in hairdressing. I kind of fell into it. I was engaged with the clients who used to visit him. And he used to get some proper cars parked outside. You know, there were Bentleys out there. There were really nice, smart Porsches. And I thought, you know, these guys can afford to go anywhere. You know, for their hair. And they're choosing to come to this tiny little salon in Southborough. And my background was a little bit more kind of like in businesses in London, in salons in London, and around that were a little bit more profit focused, let's say, more financially kind of like astute, very strategy based businesses. And the more I worked in those, I kind of felt less comfortable in that environment. But I saw the value in it because, of course, they were great businesses.
They did well,
But it wasn't long really before I saw that there was a great correlation really to be had between great customer service and a bit of a business strategy.
Yeah.
So, you know, combining the two was really where we kind of like, where I stepped things up a little bit at the salon, keeping and maintaining that, those core values really around putting people at the heart of what we do. Great customer service from a quite genuine customer service. It's not forced. It's not like, you know, waiters with sort of like,
yeah,
trying to impress over their arms. It's not that. It's just genuine knowing people and understanding people and listening to people. And you know, and the business kind of grew. I took over in 1995 from my dad officially. And then we grew the business every 5 years. It seemed to be there was no strategy around that, but things came about every 5 years where we would either refurbish the salon or I was able to buy another chunk of the property. You know, and then to that end, really, in 2018, we ended up owning the entire site.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And it's a big place, you know.
It is,
yeah. So it's no longer the small little salon. You know, it's a strong and big business, really. We see a lot of customers every week.
Yeah, yeah.
And many of those were original
from
clients.
From the beginning.
Right from the beginning. Right. And, you know, and we always reminisce when they come in.
Yes.
We always say, do you remember,
when?
Do you remember when? I mean, my dad used to serve little coffees with in misshapen cups. You know?
Right.
So now it's all smart trays and nice biscuits and, you know, a gin and tonic or Prosecco.
Yeah.
But in his day, it was a little coffee from a cafetiere with a glass of grappa on the side.
Really? Yeah.
And that's what they remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't long before I realised that that's why those guys were driving up, parking up the side.
They wanted the grappa.
They wanted the grappa, you know, and it was good grappa as well. You know, if there is such a thing, I don't like it personally, but it's a strong drink.
It just shows you the importance of actually a bit of a personalised service from what your father was used to with dealing with people like the Astors, isn't it?
100%.
Showing them that real care.
Yeah, it's that care, and I think it's just that comfort around being around people, you know, because there's some, you know, I think we struggle with that in this country a little bit. You know, genuine kind of like welcoming people. I mean, my mum and dad lived just up the road from here, actually, in Dudley Road.
Yes.
And they always had people around.
Yeah, yeah. Always.
There was always people in the house. And it was never a lavish dinner party or anything like that. It would be a bowl of pasta, but there would always be food and there would always be people in the house.
Yeah.
And kind of that filtered through into the business a little bit. I don't think you can ever replicate that.
No.
You couldn't try to do that.
No.
It would have to come naturally.
Naturally, yeah.
And you know, and of course, I'm fortunate enough to have seen that from a very young age and kind of have that.
Adopted it.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's kind of like been inherited to me and, you know, even in my family, you know, people say the same of our house, you know.
Do they? Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it's a great thing to continue and you know, I'm very, very, very privileged to have been part of that and to have that mixed Italian-English culture, you know, born into me, really.
So. Nice, yeah. So 1995 you took over, to today. Now, there must have been some challenges along the way from doing that from then till now.
Oh, my God.
Probably COVID, one of them.
Well, COVID was a massive milestone in our business. It was a big turning point. But even prior to that, you know, the business challenges, I think, are the bigger you get, the bigger the problems in a way. And one of the main things for me has always been team and maintaining a really strong team that have bought into values and bought into really what we're trying to achieve and the purpose of why we're there.
Yeah.
You know, and that is to basically make people look and feel better.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's to make people happy. Mm. And, you know, and that sounds quite simple, but actually, you know, I think when you've got your own issues and people come to work and can have their own problems, it's a hard thing to give a great service when perhaps you're carrying your own challenges. So, excuse me, it's one of those things. So, you know, I think continually trying to grow a team, develop them into well-rounded, great hairdressers with a strong creative ability as well as a strong emotionally intelligent one is quite a tough ask.
Yeah.
But, you know, You know, that mixed with, you know, financial challenges that we're facing currently with, you know, increased costs and
energy costs
and paying off COVID, basically. You know, we were closed for a long time out there. In fact, we were one of the only industries to close as long as you know, one of the longest closed businesses. So, you know, that's been a challenge, but at the same time, such an amazing eye opener, and the opportunities that arise from such difficult times. Is something that I've been lucky enough, I think, to see past and to see beyond.
Yeah, that's awesome. How many staff have you got now?
We've got 26 staff in total.
Wow, okay.
Out there. Yeah. And there's a mixture of that. Mixed part-time, you know, a lot of our team have been with us for a lot of years. Mm. You know, many of the girls are now mums.
And they've gone through the maternity.
Go through maternity. Mm. And they've created such a core part of our team, and I'm so lucky to have those girls there because, you know, they come to work with a very different attitude. You know, they've done a day's work before they've turned up to work in many cases, and they're happy to be at work. And you know, and they never cease to amaze me with the energy and the passion for their job is just incredible, and it's great to see and to facilitate, actually. I'm really proud of that element of my business, you know, and it's credit to them.
It's quite telling, actually, from your website and your social media posts about how important staff are, because there is quite often a joint photograph with all of you together, and you're like a massive family. And even when you're doing your social media posts, it does come across like a family.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the really number important. One, it's our number one core value. And, you know, this is something that, you know, we did recently, actually. We did an exercise, a collaborative exercise, where we formed our core values, and I didn't want that to be, you know, we had things filtered through from my dad, that, you know, I've always struggled with trying to verbalize that to the team, and it wasn't long before, you know, I was coached actually into forming collaborative values that basically formed by the team. I had no say.
Right, okay.
You know, we were sort of bombarded with a load of words. You know, we all individually had to think about our challenges in business, think about our successes, what helped you get there, who helped you overcome challenges. And within that, we got bombarded with a load of words, and words that jumped out at you were,
really creative.
It's a really great way of doing it. And you know, and again, when it's formed by the team, you know, they're far more accountable for that.
You know
their words and behaviors chosen by the team. And family, of course, came up as the number one core value, and I think, you know, it's an overused word in many businesses, but in ours it genuinely is. You know, it's a word that is very authentic to our business.
Now, you're up where you seem to be winning lots of awards over the while, but you're up for Director of the Year.
Also Salon Manager of the Year for Becky, who's been with me for, nearly 17 years now.
Wow, okay,
And the team are up for a Salon Team of the Year as
amazing.
Well.
Amazing. Yeah, you must be very proud.
Really proud. Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, these choices of going for these things, again, it's a collaborative thing. Yeah. You know, it's about the purpose of our business is not just a creative one. It's not just about day to day. It's about actually let's leave a bit of a legacy.
Yes.
Let's have a, you know, let's do something great in the time that we've got. And that's really kind of something that, you know, I feel really strongly about, is being very purpose driven, but human centered.
Yes, yeah, that's a real part of your core values, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about performing, you know, collaborative goals, collaborative values, but always putting people at the heart of what we do. Always, whether that be customers, whether that be team, or whether that be family, you know, it's a huge part of what I believe in, for sure.
And then what comes with that is obviously enjoyment as well, isn't it, for work satisfaction for all of your staff and for yourself.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's an amazing environment. Being in a hairdressing salon for a day, you know, people would, like, it's just, you can't You can't verbalise how amazing it is.
And you guys are like therapists as well to people, aren't
you? Yeah, and like therapists to each other. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, it's an incredible environment. You know, when you're dealing with people at such an intimate level, it's kind of, you know, you can't fail but to form straight, really great relationships. And yeah. This is something that, you know, technology in industry in general, AI, you know, there's massive sort of like talk around these things taking over businesses. And, you know, it's one thing for sure that you can never take over in hairdressing is that, purely because you can't cut hair AI yet.
Yeah.
But that human connection, you know, like that sense of belonging, sense of contact is just amazing. And this was evident through the lockdown period. You know, one of the most talked about things was how long people's hair had got, how their roots had got so long.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing who got their haircut first, you know, after lockdown. And one of the main things was that lack of connection. You know, it was an amazing time something to witness of elevating our profession for sure, because it was really sorely missed during that time.
Of course, yeah, very much so. What's your plans? Are you looking to? Have you ever thought about having another location?
I've looked and talked about this for many, many years.
Yeah.
It's always something that's been on our radar. It's always something that I've been open to. I've never ventured myself to do that because it's having the right person, the right team, the right dynamic, and the right magic.
In that
new location. I think in establishing values and establishing a really strong business model, I think it becomes even more easy. Or it becomes more doable.
Yes.
To do that, but it's all about, you know, the biggest challenges always are people and cash.
Yeah. Right.
Always in any business. You know what I mean, like you can do a SWOT analysis on all sorts of elements of your business, but it will come down to people and cash. If you've got the right people and you've got the right amount of money at the right time, then of course, then it becomes possible. But, you know, I've never wanted to do that because, personally, because I don't feel the need diluting our business and diluting that magic. But if people in the team were really hell bent on doing that, then that's something that we for sure could do, as I'd rather do that than lose good people.
Yes, yeah. So, I mean, therefore, growth isn't of interest. It's more about keeping things stable and doing a good job for what you've got you now. Because how can you grow anymore?
Well, for me, there's a mission for customers. But as a business, you know, hairdressing has always been perceived as not such a great profession. It's a great profession and it's always an engaging one to talk about.
Yeah.
But in terms of professional status, it's still kind of deemed as being a lowly paid, lowly kind of like considered job. For me, growth isn't about having multi-locations. That's kind of, for me, a little bit egotistical, maybe, in some respect. I would rather each individual within my business grow to their maximum and push boundaries in terms of customer service, in terms of creative ability, and then charge for that.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You know, until we're seeing that way they can grow financially, that way they can grow individually as well as within the team and the business. I mean, you know, money's never been hugely important to me as an individual. Creative, kind of the creative side of the business has always been something that I'm very passionate about, but it takes profit to drive passion.
Yeah, sure.
And it takes passion to drive profit. So it's about balance for me. So as long as I maintain balance in my business, I want to grow it and elevate it to a position of that I feel that I've made a difference to our industry.
Yeah. And so absolutely everyone gets it, who comes into your premises, gets complete and utter value for money.
I'd like to think that they do. Yeah. And I mean, our reviews are pretty exceptional, I have to say. And so I do believe that is the case. And, you know, I think that the fact that some people have been coming to my dad over 50 years, I mean, you know, he's long retired now.
Does he still play a part at all?
Oh,
does he mentor you? Does he tell you off?
He did. My dad sadly has dementia now.
Okay.
Which is, you know, he's had an incredible journey, and he's immensely proud. I mean, I have to say this, that one of my most proud moments as a business owner, as a hairdresser, was when we visualized winning the Salon of the Year award. The first thing I ever thought about, and this might sound a little bit cheesy to your listeners, but I always imagined being presented with an award and handing it to my dad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's nice.
And that was just something I thought of. And it wasn't until I did that that I remembered that that's what I dreamt of.
Wow. Yeah, right. Dream come true.
Oh, my God, this is happening. And we then did that 3 years running for Salon of the Year, which was, you know, 2014, 15 and 16. And then we went into the Hall of Fame in the British Hairdressing Business Awards for winning that three times.
Wow.
And so he's a massive influence because he started things, you know. He was the risk taker.
Yeah.
I've just grown what he started.
Yes, yes.
You know, so for me, I don't feel like, you know, I felt my job has been easy, I think, as an Italian immigrant, really, opening a salon in Southborough, in Tunbridge Wells, you know, that was a big risk, and it was a big ask for someone like him. And he started it and he grew it, and he did amazingly, you know, for where he was at.
Yeah, and what you said to me once was that what you brought to it was a touch of the West End to Tunbridge Wells as well.
I mean, that was my experience.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I wanted to, you know, my experience saw certain things and certain things that the West End were doing really, really well.
Yeah.
But the number one thing that they weren't doing was giving time to customers.
Mm.
And for me, that was our biggest USP at the time, was actually, do you know what? We're here. We don't have, no one's telling us, you know, from head office that we've got to be doing haircuts in 45 minutes or in half an hour. We write our own rules. So whatever works, we do. And all we do is just charge for that.
Yeah. Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Like, and people are happy to pay it.
But they're happy to pay it. You know, it is what it is. You know, I never knowingly overcharge in the salon. You know, we want to keep competitive. But equally, you know, these things aren't cheap anymore.
No.
Along with nearly everything else.
Of course,
it's gone up. And you know, and that's why we have to deliver on a regular basis. You have to deliver on a not just a creative level, but on a personal level as well. And that consistency over the years is what helps, you know, cement the foundations of the business.
Yeah, yeah, it's awesome. Lorenzo, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's really, really cool, the way you speak passionately about the business, and you always have done. And I've no doubt that you will continue to make it an amazing success.
Well, you're very kind, and thank you so much for having me. I love the podcast. I love what you're doing with this
Thanks,
and giving exposure to local business is great.
Oh, cool.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, mate. So if anyone wants to get their hair cut, right?
Yeah.
Get down to the gallery. In Tunbridge Wells. Yeah. It's got a great website, I'm sure. Is there an online booking form?
We're online www.thegallerytw.co.uk,
okay.
And there's an app of the Gallery TW on App Store.
Perfect. Okay. So everyone, get themselves down there. So thanks again, Lorenzo, and we'll see you all for another podcast soon. Thanks, mate.
Thanks so much.